We'll start the meeting. It's 8:30. Let the record show.
Dalton.
Everybody?
No, Liz.
Liz, okay. I knew there was that. Everyone's here except Liz. I'm going to go away from the agenda real quick. Kurt, you got anything to add? We will get that. Thank you, sir. Anything new and exciting we should know about?
Not really. You guys wanted me to come, so I'm here. If you have any questions, contractors are all pretty well still on schedule for completion dates on the building. Had a couple other Prox stores over at CJC. The cars went bad on, so we had to change those out. The outside intercom for Sally Port is finally been repaired. So.
No issues over at the Criminal Justice Center? Everything.
So you said the cards were bad? Is that what was
the control thing? Card? Oh, that's okay. Actually in the panel. And those are starting to go out, so okay. We've got a handle on diagnosing those and replacing those pretty quickly.
So all the issues they had over there taken care of?
And again, how old was that system doing?
Let's see, that's just about 10 years old now. Okay. So it's got some age on it.
A lot of that stuff had already been addressed, but there was parts on order. There was different getting a vendor out to prepare them and everything. And I think everything was on top of it, but it just seemed like everything kind of happened at once.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or Kurt? Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
Public comment. Public. I'll entertain
here. Nothing to say.
You want to talk yourself to the paper?
He reports to the public. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the August meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Purchasing approvals are going around. Have they gone to everybody?
No, I haven't seen them.
There's these two, Mike.
Yeah, I saw those.
Okay. Did you get it? Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yeah, we were.
Judy?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I skipped you, Steve, but I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt today.
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Speak on these.
I come with some exciting news today.
Uh-oh, we got some money.
We got some money. Yeah. And it's the most money that we've seen in Madison County since 2004. So we've been notified that for 2015, Madison County is going to receive $3,092,000 and $430,000. So $3,092,430. And that will be divided between probation and detention. The state separates that, so probation will get slightly more than that. Then, a few days prior to that notification, we were notified that for 2014 they had some extra money left over in the Supreme Court budget, so Madison County is going to get an additional $516,818 for 2014, the state fiscal year that expired June 30th of 2014. So this, I mean, it is exciting. We were pretty confident we were going to get more money, but
what'd you get last year?
Well, last year, the initial amount was $1,798,000. Now they just added $516,000. So last year is going to finish up at $2,315,000.
What was the year before that? Do you have those?
The year before that, I think, was right around that amount, but probation got very little, and detention got the most of that. So, I mean, we're on the uptick, and like I said, we haven't seen $3 million since 2004.
What was the lowest you ever had?
It was probably right at around $1 million.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there was one year a few years ago, right when everything crashed, about 2009, 2010, where we were under $1 million. So, you know, but then they do some things to kind of add. So then they brought us up to like $1.2 million.
Yeah.
So and that's what's been happening here too. They start us out a little lower. Then when they decide or see that they're going to have some extra money, then they bump us up a little bit.
Do you get to carry over?
No.
Get, was just saying, if you don't use it, you lose it.
They take it out next year. Right, and for us, I mean, using it's not an issue because we're still underfunded.
Right.
So we always run out of money, you know, before the end of the year. And we're still underfunded here. They're saying that this should fulfill their obligation to about 88% of the max. But, you know, I mean, what they see their obligation and what we see their obligation, it's just a difference in perspective.
Aren't they supposed to pay for the whole thing?
Well, what they do, what their formula is, they take an average, a state average salary, like for a probation officer or a deputy chief, a chief, and, you know, so some departments might be above that average salary, some might be below that average salary. But that's the max they will pay is the average. So, you know, if we're making more here, then they're only going to pay the amount that they have set. So it's kind of a difference in perspective whether or not they're actually paying 88% of the obligation. So,
what do you calculate they're paying?
That is just so, so difficult to say, Mike. And part of it is because of the differences in the fiscal year, because, you know, their fiscal year is about half of our fiscal year.
Yeah.
So, and we get a raise in December, and it's so, so difficult. Probably if I put a ballpark on it, they probably need to be paying us about another $500,000.
Are you able to hire anybody that you lost there during the recent cuts?
Now, what we are going to do, the county has permitted us to bring back two detention officers. And the state has a new way of doing business. It's an application similar now to like a grant application. And we're going to apply for that to ask that, in addition to what they've already given us, if they will fund these new positions. They're not exactly new positions. They're old positions that we lost. But the state, and they're being fiscally responsible, and I totally get this, that they are not now just going ahead and saying, okay, you can start refilling these positions again. They're saying, okay, let's apply for it as though it was a grant, and put your need out there, and then you're going to have to support that need with evidence. So they're not going to let these departments get, really fat again, which, you know, and I totally applaud them for that they are being fiscally responsible. They are going to make us demonstrate that we do have the need. So Steve and I are working on that, and we have to have that in by next week. So, and the chairman and chief judge are working with us on that. So, I mean, it'll be all good if they determine that, yes, we should give you some more money so that you can bring people back. So we're excited.
As long as they fund that again next year and the year after. Right.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's always.
A crash.
Right. That's
back and
for 1 year.
For 1 year.
Yeah. That's always the concern. That's always the concern. But we most certainly need the additional help out at detention, and we can definitely make the case because we are very understaffed at detention. Our population with the kids has gone up, you know, every year.
How many staff people do you have out there?
18, Steve, 19.
There's 18 direct care staff that work with the kids directly. Yeah.
Administrators,
there's four. Well, we have the supervisors.
One on each shift.
So there's one supervisor on each shift. There's four of those, and then three administrators.
And part of the case that we're making is that the workman's comp injuries have really skyrocketed, and we believe that that is directly related to the number of kids that we've got out there, the number of violent kids that we've got out there, co-defendant kids that we have to keep separated, and they're just are not. Steve can explain this much better than I can, but simply not enough staff to keep these kids manageable. So, you know, staff, when you have two staff that has to, you know, break up some violent kids or something. Somebody's getting hurt, and three of them went out for extended lengths of time because they had major injuries, and they were workman's comp. We had a fourth individual that was not as seriously hurt. Steve himself last year got a broken hand. For whatever reason, we just have some very serious violent offenders out there the last few years, and just not enough staff to handle it. So it becomes a security issue and a safety issue. So we really, really need to get those bodies back.
Any questions for Judy?
Well, she's used up everybody else's time.
Sorry.
Steve, I'm glad we skipped you because you got good news. Hopefully you have some.
I have very little news. I just have my report to share. And Judy already told you
about
funding thing, so we're hopeful about those positions. So here's the monthly report, our to-date report.
We just went over that. Yeah. It was the courthouse, it's maintenance of the courthouse, the jail, and the criminal justice center. There's 100 cameras between those three buildings. Correct? Jamie and I both had a question on that. Okay, any questions for Steve? Looks like Sheriff Hertz, you're up.
I have the jail report for the through the month of August. And if you look at that, the numbers are down slightly from the previous year by 136 inmates. So far this year, we've processed over 4,000. So we're on target to end the year at about 6,300. That being said, everything seems to be running reasonably well.
Hmm. 279 is a good manageable number, too, right?
Do what?
The 279 that you got now in custody, that's a pretty manageable number for you guys.
Apparently you have cleaned house because our reports have been running up around 299, 298. So did you people get out for...
I stay on almost a daily contact with the state's attorney's office and that number gets around 290 and they do their thing. What? It's a very fluid system.
Unusual
on a weekend that we will process 25-30 people. Just depends on what's going on in Granite City, Collinsville, Edwardsville, Alton. You know, here they come. But the courts and the state's attorney's office do a very good job of working with us to keep that count below 300.
I'm just curious, Wednesday morning about probably 10 o'clock, two sheriff's vehicles come racing down our main street with their lights on.
What street is that?
Main Street in Collinsville. Yeah. And I thought, what's going on? I thought it was our cars.
Going east.
But when they passed me, they were going towards 159.
Heading east?
Hmm?
Heading east through town?
Yeah, something's going on because...
Mm-hmm.
Well, out there east of town, there's a lot of stuff goes on east of Collinsville.
Well, normally I don't see them, but they were going right down Main Street with their lights on, and I thought, wow, this is unusual.
Characters live out there.
Mm-hmm.
Out there east of Collinsville on Levin Road. And there's some... dandies out there.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'd like to ask a question. With this incident happening in St. Louis, are you changing any training with the department?
We're paying attention to what's going on over there. Fortunately, we haven't been tested on something like that, but we've got, we're constantly thinking about it there. I mean, we're not having our deputies go through riot training because they have a certain amount of exposure to that periodically throughout the year.
Since body cameras are becoming an issue, are we going to have them in the county?
I would say, and I've said this before, so I'll say it now, again, it's just my prediction based upon what's going on in this country, that you're probably going to see more and more of the body cameras on law enforcement people. It's a two-edged sword, I think. You got good things about that, you got bad things about that. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want to be walking around 8 hours a day with a body camera on doing my job. Not that I'm doing anything wrong, but it's sort of intimidating. But I can see if you get a complaint made against you or doing whatever, it'd be nice to have the body camera to show I didn't say that or I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what I predict in the next couple of years or so. You'll see that, and it may even come out as a federal mandate. I mean, this thing in Ferguson has caused a lot of problems nationwide, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are thinking, how can we avoid this? Mm-hmm. You got one witness that says one thing, another witness that says another thing. It'd be pretty nice to have that camera on that officer that would show exactly what happened.
Do you think cameras in our cars?
Some of them.
Okay. And are they always just a face-forward mm-hmm. type camera?
Do they? Are they like on glasses? I've seen them on glasses. Are they on the chest? Or
you can get them on glasses. You can get them where they fit up here. Yeah. The ones that you see a lot are the ones that are worn right on.
Can they? Do they have like on-off buttons, like you said? Like if they're sitting, you know, leave it off. But then when they get called, they can turn it on and.
Well, it depends on the regulation that would be put out on that. I can see some regulations that would say you never turn it off. Mm-hmm. Turn it off when you go home and you're off.
Mm-hmm. But you surely got to be able to turn it off if you go into the restroom.
Yes, Steve, we don't
probably go to that. But I can see this happening, Steve. I can see where they would say that you have to keep then a log as to why you turned it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more work. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much one of those would cost?
About $900.
How many officers do you
have? Every piece of electronic you buy anymore is going to have a maintenance agreement. Software and everything else.
So about $1,000.
Just us, you're looking at over $100,000.
Well, they're talking, too, it's the cards. The memory cards are a fortune. And
well, the ones that they've got, it's basically all internal, and then you just dump it in on the hard drive and store it. But then with all that video, we've got to have the ability to store that.
Mm-hmm. How big are these things? The iPhone size or something? Or
smaller than that, almost like a flip phone size, a little flip.
Well, it seems like police have to carry so much now in their service belt already, you know, to add another.
Yes, that's requirements that are already mandated. The city of Oakland, California, is mandated.
Yeah, they interviewed. Yeah, I saw they interviewed a place in the east that has them, and they interviewed one of the officers, and he said that he turns his on and off. Is even if somebody comes to ask for directions, he turns it on, just to. And they said that their complaints about the police department went down like 75%.
That's why I just think it'd be a lot cheaper to just put. Three more on a vehicle, three more cameras on a vehicle.
Right. It'll be cheaper just to satellite up in somebody.
There you go.
And that way they can just monitor all of us all the time.
Because you know that they get, you know, they get into scuffles and the thing's going to break. You know what I mean? Well, it will help investigations. And I know you've got complaints. 90%, 95% of the complaints that we used to receive are unfounded complaints. If you've got something like that, you know, to back up what your officer's saying, it will cut down on the investigating time that you guys have to do and anybody else.
Now, I think what you're going to see on this potentially is good people, decent people that are looking for a career in law enforcement are going to look someplace else. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't necessarily, like I said before, want to operate 8 hours a day with a camera around my neck. And there are times in police work that raising your voice to a person and maybe throwing in a what some people would consider a bad word helps alleviate the situation. You know, if I say, Steve, would you mind putting these handcuffs on so I can take you to jail? With some people, just raising your voice and, you know, as a way of getting compliance. But then if I know that that conversation is going to be scrutinized by CNN and everybody else, you know, I'm going to be a little bit reluctant. And I think at times, when, as a law enforcement officer, when you let your guard down, that's when you're going to get hurt.
Would that information coming over those cameras be covered under the Freedom of Information Act?
Probably.
No, nothing would be confidential.
Which means that it'll be available to the public, which means that some hacker will get on there. It's a digital camera, more than likely. They can change the image and flip it around to where it looks like, and then blur it out on the internet and make it look like anything else. It's life, guys. That's what happens, unfortunately.
Okay, any questions for Sheriff Hertz? Stephanie?
Couple of upcoming events we have. It's our prescription cake back day coming up again. Early this year, we're September 27th. We'll be back in the lot in the back here. So there's some flyers for that. We've got a student who's papering the county with flyers trying to encourage people to come on and mock them in, drop them off. And then we also have our, if you know any kid groups, we've sent this out to all the schools. We have our annual poster contest where we display all the posters up here for Red Ribbon Week. Also part of Red Ribbon Week, all the high school, I believe, is working on having a town hall to focus on underage drinking, which is still an issue. We met with them, so there'll be some activities with that that we'll let you know when that comes up. So.
Art, you have a question about the color printer they bought?
Oh, sorry.
That's what they're doing.
There you go.
When people bring in these prescriptions, do we check their ID and get the name on the prescription?
People don't have to take labels off. We throw them in. They're kept in a box, and then it's taken to the sheriff's department, locked. No one ever, the DEA picks it up, and it's incinerated. So
your best bet, just go to the jail and drop it off whenever you want.
I'm just wondering if maybe Joe Smith brings in some, you know, barbiturates that was prescribed to Janet drug day or something, you know.
Well, then it's off on the street, though.
Let me see your ID.
It said no questions asked. People bring it, drop it, and they never see it again. So people too, pet beds, you know, someone asks when you bring your pet. You know, pets are on a lot of medications too. I mean, it's getting them out of the house as well too. There's no needles. That's the main thing we've done in 70 days.
Do they incinerate this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like a steel mill or something like that?
Someplace over in
you take it to the DEA or something. And get rid of it. I don't know where they take it to.
They
take all the steel and burn it up in there.
Well, they used to do guns that way.
I think there's a place in St. Clair County that they have a contract with.
They would use it. They probably still do guns, don't they? In the first place.
They're between drugs.
I know, but they got away exhausted. You don't get the exhaust out of
high on the steel.
Who invited you here? Any questions for reference state attorney business? Any new business?
No.
Any old business? These two purchases by the sheriff's office. I'll entertain a motion to accept these two.
So moved.
Second. Art?
Aye.
Gussie?
Yes.
Terry?
Aye.
Liz?
Yes.
Aye. Mike? I say aye. On the bills.
Where did you have signed those? Because I had that question.
I'm sorry. You seen them?
No, I saw them. I didn't sign it because I didn't know what the cameras were for.
Entertain a motion to accept the bills. Second. Art?
Aye.
Pepe?
Yes.
Carrie?
Aye.
Liz?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
I say aye. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.